to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to take a different take this morning than originally planned. We'll begin our Holy Spirit series next Sunday when we have a little bit more time to walk through it, because what I don't want to do is set the table halfway. Have you ever been to someone's house? And you could tell that there was going to be a great meal, but they weren't quite ready for you. And so you show up early, maybe there's only a few things on the table, and it just sort of changes the time. So we're going to pause, and we're going to come back to this starting next week. Instead, what I want to do for just a couple minutes is take you to a passage of Scripture that I think has a lot of truth for where we are as a body, as well as where you are as an individual. One of the things Jose talked about just a few moments ago that we spent much of our time working on in Nicaragua was building the bathrooms. Now, when I say we built the bathrooms, truth is a bunch of gringos coming down there, they work circles around us, the people who are already there. They patted us on the head, said, bueno, good job, go back to America. I mean, you know, they did what they could to encourage us, but we were really more there to just let them know that we are, as best we can, a part of the work taking place in Nicaragua. And as we began the project, as we began doing some of the work, it was very interesting to see the different stages, the pieces that were put together that came from an unfinished product to what will be a necessary tool to help that body and many more. And so if you've ever been to a construction site here in the States, most likely you've come and you've seen that all of the pieces have already been put together. You've already got concrete block. You have the reinforced steel bars and things, but they don't have that. Rather, we were the construction site. We were the ones to build it. And so over in one corner, you saw a picture of this big sand pile. And I was just thinking the whole time, I was thinking, my kids would love that in the backyard. But we get over there and they show us that what they want us to do is to take sand and to sift out the rocks, the shell, the things that don't belong, until we had a pure sand pile. And from there, we took that and were able to use that. They then mixed that with concrete and water to create blocks. And those blocks then were used to build the structure. And as I watched what was going on, hey, I think we've got power. All right. As we watched what took place, I think it painted for so many of us there a picture of the process God goes through in taking every one of us and putting us in position for a purpose. And so I just kind of want to walk you through a passage of Scripture, make a couple observations, ask you one question, and we'll call it a morning, okay? 1 Peter chapter 2, this is the words of our big brother Paul or Peter in the faith. He says this, starting in chapter 2, verse 4. Once you get there, let me know with a big amen. Amen. As you come to Him, quick question, church, when the Bible just talks about Him, who is the Bible talking about? Jesus. Always a safe answer in church. You don't know the answer, just say Jesus, and we'll at least give you a cookie, okay? As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God, and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now jump down here to verse 7. Now to you who believe, the stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobeyed the message, which is also what they were destined for. Verse 9, but you, hear this now, this is not true of simply the people to whom Peter wrote. This is true of all who follow Jesus. So listen, these are words of Peter to you. But you, Antioch, are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Here's the picture I want you to see. There's a process that God takes us through from being useless to useful. Can I get an amen? How many of you remember the days when you were very much useless? How many of you remember those moments where you were not the person that you knew God wanted you to be? And if you want to identify that stage of life with one of the stages in this building project, I want you to envision the big pile of dirt and sand and shell. It's amazing. When I looked at that pile, all I saw was a mess. But to a master craftsman, to a builder, they saw potential. And so you go over and there's a process, isn't there? You can't just take all that is there, but rather there is a process of sifting. You pour the dirt through a sifter, and the things that do not belong are slowly drawn out of it. So family, this is the process of repentance, where we recognize that what is in us does not need to stay in us. That when we see our own sin, when we see what is wrong with us, when we see where we've come from, God begins, through the grace of the Holy Spirit, begins to say, there are things that need to change. And we begin to say, I will repent. Now, the word repent simply means to turn around. It means that if this is the course of my life and Christ is this direction, I stop. I acknowledge that I'm going the wrong way and I begin to march towards Christ. There's a sifting, a changing. Listen, it is impossible for someone who claims to follow Christ to maintain their wrong course of action. He sifts us. He cleans us up. And then the next thing, maybe for some of you, you go, okay, I sense that need. And yes, I'm wanting to turn my life to Christ. And yes, but what is the next step? We always ask at Antioch. Everyone has a next step. Here's the question. What's yours? If you have repented, Peter tells us elsewhere in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, he says, repent, okay, CFC folk, help me out with this next one, and be baptized. And so as we saw this more pure, or at least this sifted dirt, now they took the sand and they bring it over and they mix it with concrete and water. And something happens, something that, again, a scientist could explain to you, but me, I'm just a preacher, I can't explain to you what's going on. But it goes from a useless sand pile to being changed for a purpose, that it can become something more than it already was. This is a picture of baptism, that when we come into the water in ways that I do not understand, we are changed. The living water, Jesus Christ, comes and we meet and something profound happens. And then he says, I don't simply want to change you, I want to use you. And so they would take the concrete and they would then begin to form it, to put it in shape for a purpose greater than itself. And they made blocks. Now, if you've ever gone to a work site and you see a bunch of blocks, they look kind of neat, but they're useless until they've been put together for a purpose. And so he says, and Peter here says, that the chief stone, the capstone, the righteous one, Jesus Christ, you have been brought into his family, and now as you have been shaped into living stones, he is going to put you to work in the house of God. Quick question. Which stone in the wall, other than for Jesus, which stone is the most important stone in a wall? Cornerstone. Jesus is the one. Beyond Jesus, though, all the other stones, they're of equal value and equal worth. Now, here's the thing that I hear sometimes in church. Well, because I do not stand on stage, I must not be valuable. Let me tell you, we got a group of guys right now who are sort of the secret security of our church. They are very important to me because sometimes I say stupid things on stage and people get mad. They're the ones keeping me from dying after service every Sunday. That and the invisible chicken wire that I want to put up here, okay? Who's the most important person? You ask anyone in the wall, who's the most important person? You'll say, well, the person that I'm standing on is the most important person to me. You understand, every stone is invaluable for the stones stacked upon it. You need to understand that God has put you in the church. He has gifted you with particular skills and graces, and you are essential for the mission of the church of God. There is no stone other than for Jesus Christ that is of more valuable than any other stone. You are a part of the family of God for a purpose. And if you begin to pull stones out, well, you know, they don't need me. Well, they don't need me. How many of you have ever played the game Jenga? How many of you don't have any idea what Jenga is? Basically, it's a bunch of blocks. You pull them out, and you see who can pull the last block out before it falls over. In the family of God, When you see Christ followers who attend but do not engage, you are seeing pieces of the wall that are sitting on the side. But when you see men and women say, you know, I have different gifts than you and you have different gifts than me, but I'm invested, I'm involved, what you're seeing is a structure that God can use for His glory. So here's all I want to ask you this morning. One question. Are you ready? You've got the dirt pile. You've got the sifted one, the repentant. You have those that have been mixed in the concrete with the water. You have the formed blocks, and then you have those in the wall. These represent the different points in every one of our salvation story. My question is this: where are you in that story? Where are you? Are there things that today you would say, I need help sifting? Or maybe I say I follow Christ and I love Jesus, but I've never put Him on in baptism. I need to walk into the water of baptism and meet Him in a profound way. Or you know what? He's changed me, but I've just never engaged in the body of Christ. Maybe that's you today. Where are you today? And then here's the next question. What is your next step? Because God did not simply save you from sin. He saved you for a purpose.